And welcome back to Kidman Talk, episode 148. We are getting up there. This is your host, Carl Bastian, coming to you from Kidology.org. And I'm so delighted that you have chosen to spend a little time with me, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or listening in iTunes. I'm just so honored to get to spend some time with you. And as always, thank you for the feedback that you send. It always encourages me to keep doing this, whether you just comment under the video, whether you send an email to carl@kidmantalk.com, or however you want to get a hold of me. I love hearing from you, especially if there is a topic or something you'd like me to address, either here or on the website. Please do let me know, because we are here to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Today, as we are wrapping up Thanksgiving at the week, the time that I'm recording this, I'm launching a really fun three-part series called A Kidman Christmas Carol. And you're going to be visited by three ghosts. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. This episode is sponsored by HarperCollins and the Adventure Bible Field Note Journals. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. It's really super cool. I'm going to be ordering one for my son, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. So sit back, relax, and let's talk Kidman. Hey, thank you so much for taking some time to spend with me today. Hey, let me ask you kind of a fun question. What if you went to bed tonight and you were visited by three ghosts? No, not ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, but three ghosts of Kidman past, present, in future. Yeah, we're going to have a little fun with that during today and the next two episodes as we wrap up 2020. Oh my goodness, a year that will live in infamy, wasn't it? So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, I just want to tell you about our sponsor today. Always so thankful to those who invest in Kidology and support our nonprofit ministry through a sponsorship, and those like you who join Kidology, not just to get all the amazing resources and downloads and free curriculum and everything, but to support our ministry as we equip and encourage those in children's ministry and provide tons of resources for free to small churches, students, missionaries all over the world. And HarperCollins is our sponsor for today, and they've got something really cool and just in time for Christmas, although if you're listening to this later, this is good any time of the year. It's a life-impacting gift that you can give to your children if you're a parent, or to the kids at your church. Could be a stocking stuffer, could be a prize you give away in kids' church, but they're called the NIV Adventure Bible Field Notes. Now, you've heard me talk about the Adventure Bible in the past. I love it. It's what I recommend to the parents at our church. It's a fantastic Bible with lots of notes and visual things inside and helps for kids. But now they've come out with some Adventure Bible Field Notes. This is to help kids get excited about reading and studying their Bible. So these single books of the Bible, they're journals, and right now they're available in Luke and John and the book of Acts, and they feature interactive prompts from the best-selling NIV Adventure Bible, and they help kids encounter Scripture in a new way through journaling. There's a presentation page, a book introduction to give kids the background for each book, and then there's plenty of space to journal. You can learn more about it by just going to adventurebible.com for more information. And by the way, just literally this weekend, I have dropped the Unit 1 of IT Bible curriculum, and the focus of it is going to be helping kids learn their Bible basics and challenging them to have a daily quiet time with God. And so this may be a tool or a resource that would complement that series fantastically. If you've not checked out IT Bible curriculum, we're excited about it. You're going to love it because kids need it. God's Word has it. And now you can teach it. Just go to kidology.org/it and learn all about it. It is a full children's church curriculum that is completely free to Kidology All Access members. And we're doing something really cool right now while a lot of churches are closed and are meeting at home, or maybe you're doing a hybrid where you are meeting in person like we are, but your numbers are down. because of capacity, and also just a lot of families aren't able to come or aren't comfortable coming back in person. So you're doing online church. So my good buddy, Pastor Doug Olson, and I, who's helping me write the IT Bible curriculum, we are creating some bonus content. We're taking part of the curriculum and we're actually creating online videos that you can include in your online services. So to learn more about that, I don't want to take a lot of time right now, but just go to kidology.org/streamit and you can learn more about it. Here's what's super cool. I've never heard of anyone else doing this. They're probably going to start doing it now that we're doing it, but I think it's super cool. We are not only providing teaching videos and object lesson videos to go with the curriculum that you can use in the classroom, or you can make them part of your online service. But here's what's really cool. We're giving them to you with the green screen. That means you can put your own backdrop. You can literally take a picture of your kids' church set, and you can plop Doug and I right there in your room teaching your kids. And just so you know, and this is going to sound kind of silly, but Doug and I, we don't even mention our names. We just say, hey, kids, and we just teach because we don't want it to be about us. The kids don't care who we are. Honestly, our names are not important because it's your church. And so if you're Pastor Matt or Pastor Jennifer and you do an opening video where you greet your kids and you introduce the lesson, you'll be able to just flow right into the teaching video, the Mo Camel for Wise Kids, and then the object lesson video that I created. You can put in worship videos. Obviously, you need to have the licensing and permission to do that. And then you can do a wrap-up video. But we've done the bulk of the filming and the writing and the producing for you. And you can use them as is. Just download, plug them in. Or you can use the green screen. If you know how to do that in iMovie or on your phone, and throw us in your kids' room, the kids will think that we came to your church and filmed a video and that we're part of your ministry, because we want to be a part of your ministry and help you reach and teach your kids for Jesus. So check that all out. That's all at kidology.org/it. We're super excited about it. And we're also, this, while I'm recording, it's not live. By the time you listen to it, it might be, or very soon, you might remember the fantastic Bible activity book that we came out with for Halloween. That's a generic one. Well, we now have a Christmas one that it's just about to drop. Might even be at the time of this recording, but certainly will be within a week. We have a Christmas Bible activity book. This is a book that you get a license to print as many as you want to give to the guests that come to church. You customize the back cover with your church's information. I've literally just got the files. That's why I can't even show you what it looks like. I'll do a Facebook Live later, show you all about it. Same artist, same concept, just customized for Christmas. And if it does well and you guys love it, give us feedback. We're going to make one for Easter probably as well. That is the plan. But let's dive into the podcast. This won't be a long one. It's a busy holiday time, but I want to have some fun with a Kidman Christmas Carol. The Christmas Carol is one of my favorite Christmas stories. Likely it's yours too. Right up there with Turbo Man, right? You got to watch Turbo Man. But Christmas Carol, I love it, all right? My favorite every year is I've got to watch The Muppet Christmas Carol. Came out in 1992, and you might enjoy that. For adults, it's not really a kid movie. I mean, not that it's not appropriate for kids, just that they'd probably be bored. But if you have not seen The Man Who Invented Christmas, came out in 2017, it's a really good movie. It's the story of Charles Dickens and how the whole Christmas Carol story came about. And it's filmed in a really cool way where he's interacting with the fictional characters in his mind. No, he's not going crazy, but people think he is. It's a delightful movie, and especially if you're a writer, it gives you an insight into the mind of a creative and the mind of a writer, which is why a lot of you children's pastors will totally relate to it. Those of you who don't understand us, maybe you'll understand us after watching that movie. But what if you were visited by three ghosts? The ghosts of Kidman past, the ghost of Kidman present, and the ghost of Christmas, or Kidman future, all right? What would they show you, all right? What would you learn, and how would you be changed as a result? That's what I want to talk about. And today we're going to talk just about the ghost of Kidman past, all right? I know a lot of us struggle with our past, right? There can be difficult, heart-wrenching, just terrible things that have gone on in our past. But I'm not going to just talk about bad things that happened in the past, all right? If you've had some horrific things go on in the past, then you might want to, you know, talk to a counselor or a coach or have some good friends or accountability. I'm not talking so much about that. I'm also going to talk about how the good in the past can hold us back. But sometimes the past is like an anchor that slows us down and keeps us from where we want to be. And it can be a negative past. It can even be good things. All right. Hey, I loved Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to give you some quotes from Abe during this series. Abe Lincoln said, "Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." You know, as I interact with a lot of people there, and I struggle sometimes because I hear children's ministry leaders complaining. And we all can fall guilty of complaining. And because you're not here in person, maybe I can speak some tough love into you today and you can just smash your phone instead of punching me. But there's a lot of truth in that statement. And a lot of times, things that happen in the past, they slow us down and they hinder us and they hold us back. And we want to blame others for our lack of contentment, happiness, success, prosperity, ministry success, and we're pointing the fingers at other people. And believe me, I know what it's like to go through difficult ministry situations. I have been through some horrific ministry situations. I have worked under some really difficult people. I have also created messes for myself. I have made mistakes and I have had to learn from those mistakes and I have had to learn how to move forward and heal and forgive and have grace and forgiveness and to move forward. So I want to talk briefly about the good, the bad, and the ugly in our past and how to let all three of those not keep us from where God wants to take your ministry in the future, especially if you're listening to this now in November, December, and you are so wanting the new year to get here. 2020 was a rough year. 2021 is going to have its challenges. Every year has its challenges, but you're eager for this new start. Well, first I want to talk about the good. All right. How can the good hold us back? You know, sometimes we've had experiences in the past that were overwhelmingly positive. All right. We had great ministries and great success and we did great events we have past ministries where things went great. Maybe we had better budgets. We had better staff. Maybe we had a better boss. Maybe we were just younger and we had more energy. And what happens is we can always be talking about the past. And if in our current ministry, we're always saying, well, my other church, we used to do this and we used to do that. And we used to have these amazing things. You know, there's times I have to guard myself. I often want to share things about past ministry. A lot of times I'll bite my tongue and I won't because my current volunteers, they weren't there. And while I'm not meaning to make a comparison and say that ministry was better than this ministry, that's how it can be interpreted. You know, there's been times where on events, I've had someone talk about, oh, well, last year's event was so much better. And they'll give the reasons. And I've sometimes had to pull them aside and say, I'm so glad you were at last year's event. I'm glad you have great memories. But for them, this is it for them. This is their first event. So while you're reminiscing, what you're saying to them is what you're getting is half-baked. It's not as good as what I had in the past. And sometimes you just need to leave the good behind. You know, when I was a youth pastor, my youth pastor, Dan Goody, who I mention every now and then, and recently I got to see him again. It had been years and years. He happened to be in town and posted a picture on Facebook. But one of the things that we did on our leadership team from him that I really appreciated is we had to share fresh bread or fresh fruit. And what he meant by that was a lot of times in our spiritual journey, we want to share these humdingers, these great things that God did in the past, or this devotional that I had 3 years ago where I had this incredibly deep spiritual insight into the Word of God. And so I, every time someone asks for me, what's God shown you lately, man, I bring up that humdinger and I share this spiritual insight I have. And people are like, oh, Carl's deep. He's spiritual. Man, I would have never seen that in that passage. But, you know, it was 3 years ago. You know, and our youth pastor actually would not allow us to share anything that was more than 2 weeks old. He said, if it's more than 2 weeks old, you could have shared it 2 weeks ago. I'm not interested in it. I want fresh fruit. You know, it's interesting that God talks about the fruit of our ministry, of our life being fruit, because fruit is delicious. Fruit is good for you, but fruit goes bad. My wife's always complaining because she'll buy all this wonderful fruit and my son and I won't eat it and it goes bad. She has to throw it out. And she's like, you guys need to eat the fruit because you only want fresh fruit. And so sometimes in our ministries, we need to ask the tough question and say, What is some fresh fruit? You know, what is God doing in my ministry now? What is God calling me to do now? And not try to compare to what God did in the past. Celebrate it. Be proud of it. There is times to share those great stories. That's why I recently wrote the Bright Idea book, where I shared some of the incredible stories of what God has done in my life and through Kidology over the years. But you'll notice even in that book, I tried to point forward and express anticipation and excitement about what God has in the future. You know, I recently just posted on Facebook, I was at a retreat for children's pastors recently, and there was a worship song, and I think it's called My Testimony. There's a line in there where it said, if I'm not dead, then God's not done. And I like that line because a lot of times, you know, we're focused on the past, and God's saying, hey, if you're still here, then there's greater things that I still want to do in the future, and we need to seek God about those. And we'll talk more about that when we get to the Ghost of Christmas Future. So don't let the good, the great past hold you back. Just don't keep coasting on those great times. You know, consider it rubbish and move forward, all right? What about the bad? Man, we've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've made big mistakes, we've made little mistakes, or we've allowed habits to form in our ministry. And where we are now in ministry is the product of the choices we've made in the past. And this can be sinful choices, but it also can just be leadership choices, management choices, time management choices, educational choices, career choices. There's all kinds of things we make that lead us to where we are today. And we can have regret, we can have shame, we can have embarrassment, and those things can hold us back. But what we have to do is to realize that he that began a good work in us is going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We need to embrace who we are today, and we need to forget that, and we need to focus on the forward. You need to realize that everything that's happened to us, whether it happened to us or whether we did it to ourselves, it's a part of forming our character. And we need to use that in order to move forward. That's the good. That's the bad. Don't let it hold you. But what about the ugly? And by the ugly, I'm talking about things that are really not your fault. The hurt that you carry. And believe me, I know this from myself. I could tell you stories, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to drop names. But ministry's hard. There's a reason that the average time that a children or youth pastor in ministry is 3 to 5 years, lead pastor 7 years. It's because ministry is hard and you're dealing with sinful people. And a lot of times people that go into ministry, they think, well, I know the world's got a lot of bad people, but when I get on staff at a church, you know, I'm going to be dealing with the cream of the crop. I'm going to be dealing with the saints, right? And then they find out that pastors and coworkers can be ugly and can be hurtful and downright bad sometimes. Now, sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's personality difference. Sometimes it's we've got to have grace that they don't realize they're being mean or cruel or hurtful, but we end up carrying a lot of hurt. And I'm going to tell you something you know that you don't want to hear. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Forgiveness is not about the other person. If there's a pastor or a leader or a coworker or a volunteer or someone in your life in the past that has hurt you deeply, it will slow you down. It will be an anchor that will drag you until you forgive them. And your forgiveness has nothing to do with them, has nothing to do with them deserving it, deserves got nothing to do with it. Tell me what movie that was from. It has nothing to do with them being sorry. I mean, it's wonderful when people come back and say, hey, Carl, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That's happened to me a few times. Most of the time, it does not happen. And I should mention, I've had to do the same. I've had to go back. But I'll bet there's people that I didn't even know I hurt. I didn't even know I offended. I've had a few of those things in life where someone was mad and I finally went to them. And they say, well, you did this, that, or the other. And I was hurt and I didn't even know. And sometimes I had a reason or an explanation. Other times, like, yeah, you're right, man. That was not cool. I'm sorry. Reconciliation does happen, but sometimes it doesn't. You have to forgive regardless, be whether they deserve it, whether they want it, whether they're sorry. But didn't Jesus say, forgive as you have been forgiven? And if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Yeah, Scripture does say that. One of the most powerful books you could read if you're struggling with forgiveness is, it's called, oh, am I going to forget the name now? I'll put it in the show notes. I think it's called Absolute Forgiveness. But it's a book about finding that complete forgiveness. And what it is it's not just forgiving them and moving forward. You have to go so far as to wanting their success, wanting God to bless them, because that's how much God has forgiven us. See, we go to the cross, we lay our sins, and want God to forgive us. Then we want God to bless us and give us success and security and prosperity and a great ministry. And God says, well, isn't it just enough that I forgave you? It's like, no, I want more than forgiveness. I want restoration. I want blessing. And that is how we've got to forgive people. So some of those people that we harbor anger and resentment and hurt, and those emotions are not bad. Those emotions are real. They're genuine. They're sincere and they're valid. But those are the people we need to forgive. And then we actually need to pray that God not will smite them. You thought it, but that God would actually bless them. And that they would come to grow deeper with God in their walk with God. And I tell you what, as you begin to pray for them, and then don't watch for it, because if you don't see it, you'll get discouraged, right? You just need to pray for it. But as you forgive, you will move forward. You've got to leave the past behind. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, you know these verses. You've probably taught these verses. Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What is that? Godliness, right? He wants to be like Christ. He wants to be everything that God wants him to be, just like you and I do. And then he gives the secret, but here's one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He's acknowledging this is not easy, but you've got to forget what's behind and you've got to strain toward what's ahead. And then he goes on to say, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, God has called you into ministry. He's given you a divine calling. He's given you gifts. He's given you passion. He's given you creativity and ideas and intelligence. And what the enemy wants is to allow your past, both the good, the bad, and the ugly, to keep you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. You know Jeremiah 29:11. You know Acts 20:24. I don't have to quote them for you. You know all this. And yet we let the past hold us back. We need to refuse to do it. We need to throw off whatever entangles. And I want to ask you right now, as this podcast wraps up, I want to ask you to take some time to pray and say, God, what do I need to leave in the past? Is there someone I need to forgive? And maybe there's someone you need to go reconcile with. Go take care of that. But maybe it's good stuff. Maybe you need to say, I need to quit reminiscing over the glory days, the awesome days. I need to quit, wishing things were like they used to be, all right? And I need to focus on what God has called me to do right now and to focus on that. Abe Lincoln also said, I walk slowly, but I never walk backwards, all right? We want fast results. We want fast progress. But I like how he said that. Nope, we just need to be moving forward. All right? So I believe if you were visited by the ghost of Christmas past, he would show you something good, bad, or ugly that is hindering where you are today. And I just want to challenge you as we come to the end of this year to get on your knees, bawl your eyes out if you have to, ask God to reveal to you what you need to do to leave the past behind so you can press forward and not have that anchor drag you. Remember, bitterness is just anger in a crock pot, man. You need to turn that off, throw it out, and begin to be excited about what God has for you in the future. I'll see you next time when we'll talk about the next ghost.